Blog Talk Radio.
They all come along like Eyal to Yahshua. Eyal come along like Eyal to Elohim. Eyal come along like Eyal to Yahshua, my Savior. Elohim like Big Bra. Come along.
Like that, so I'm so glad this person was patient with us. If you guys are familiar with TikTok,
You know, the Duet Ninja. He has platforms. He does stuff on the radio. He does a lot of things, speaks on a lot of things for the community as a teacher. We'll get into a whole bunch of those things, but I just want to go ahead and introduce to some and basically reintroduce to others the great Duet Ninja. How are you doing, my friend?
Peace and blessings to Kofi. I'm great, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for being on the show. You know, and congratulations. I think I've told you in person already, but, you know, congratulations once again on your son. I don't know if it's your oldest son, but the son that just, I believe, graduated college, right? And is actually helping us out a lot.
Sure. Yeah, he just graduated the respiratory therapist. Got that out of the way. And yeah, he's my only one. So.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, you're training them up right. That's the main thing. So, and really, you know, when we talk about you, you know, that's one thing that you, you know, are as far as my comprehension. We never spoken specifically on this in person, but you know, my understanding is that you were in fact a teacher in actual a classroom setting for a while. Is that a correct statement?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I started out as what's called a long-term sub, and I really enjoyed that. Both my parents were retired educators, so I guess it was just, you know, something that was really comfortable with me. And I've always had, you know, somewhat of an affection for children and you know, young minds developing. It's just something I like, because that's one of the reasons I, you know, went to coaching. Basketball and things of that nature as well, just working with the youth. And as you know, there's a particular segment of society that normally plays basketball or football, things of that nature, that needs more guidance than some. So that was another attraction for me. But, I was started out as a long-term sub and got into what is known as a lateral entry program. And just when I started getting into that, budget cuts came. So they bounced me around from school to school, and you know, I wound up finishing up the last 7 years of my employment with the local school system as a job coach, working with special needs kids. So I kind of went full circle. I went from middle school to elementary school to high school, and finished out the special needs as a job coach offsite at Goodwill.
You know, it's a path, but it's a path that built you. And I guess along the, you know, you going through that stuff and being built through that time is, especially with you saying that you saw a need for people in the community. You know, is that what pushes you? Because I know, and you know, I know that you're somebody who's not really into the whole, you know, thing, and I get it as far as what race has become is not actually what race was at one point. But, you know, as far as those things, people that do look like us, unfortunately, they do go through a lot of issues and things like that. Do you think that a huge reason for that is simply because we as the generation that should be taking care of the next generation, do you think it's just that we're dropping the ball, that we're not as focused, that maybe we are so caught up in the grind of, you know, everyday life that we're not thinking about someone in children? Is it something that has to do with, you know, the fact that we don't even understand finances and how we should be making sure we're working to make sure that our grandchildren are taken care of? Like, what are some things when you look at it, you see people that look like us sometimes even failing themselves by believing the hype about themselves, or just people like that look like us that are young, you know, not developing in a manner that we would hope they would. What are some of the reasons that you kind of, you know, see happen in that regard?
You pretty much laid it out, man. There's layers, and along with those layers that are social in nature, you have the individual, obviously, and then you have the environment in which the individual resides that has that influence on that individual. You accompany that element with the layers that you mentioned, of course, and there's other layers, whether it be psychological layers, you know, related to society in America or, you know, throughout the globe, mind you, because it all has a common source, which is colonialism. But psychological aspect of it, you know, not seeing yourself in media, not seeing yourself in books, not seeing yourself in, you know, any type of really relative important information that goes out there across the world, art, music, you name it. That has a profound psychological effect on individuals, especially the youth. And it's been like that for so long that the adults don't even know how to break that cycle and then guide others away from that, right? So that's another aspect of the layers. It's generational, I guess you can say it's a generational occurrence in terms of, you know, psychological degradation, if you want to be honest about it. Because it was imposed from externally, which influences the internal, which is passed on through generation. What you mentioned is obviously layers attached to that example that I just spoke about. And you hit the nail on the head when it comes to finance. A lot of Americans don't know what the hell to do. You know, and black folks in America are a part of that, you know, that fabric in America, which is the lack of financial education. And it carries over, again, generation to generation. We're already behind the eight ball, no pun intended, when it comes to property ownership, when it comes to community financing, community wealth generation. We're already behind the eight ball, big time. Right, that's a 200-300 year, you know, head start basically, and you accompany that with the lack of education on how to utilize your finances to pass on to generation to generation. Knowing how to insure your money outside of the bank, knowing how to funneling your money into resources that produce assets and not liability. I mean, it's just basic stuff that people don't know, man. And then you get into the credit aspect of things, and it's a nightmare, bro. that has a lot to do with it. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to step in there and reach out and, you know, drop some jewels to some youth that come along my way, man. Because I mean, if you try to engage everybody, you're just going to burn yourself out, and your message is going to be lost.
Yeah.
Right. You need to pinpoint, right, and make sure you're direct, but also nurturing at the same time. Because you don't understand the environment that these kids are coming from when you meet them initially, right? So you have to gain their trust, gain their respect, and then implement that knowledge so they can carry it on, and hopefully they'll pass it on. You know, each one teach one type of thing. That's where I'm coming from.
Well, I like what you just said. I was actually hoping that you were going to end, because I was going to end up interrupting you a little bit, because I wanted to focus sure. on what you just said, you know, right before you said each one, you know, teach one. And I'm forgetting exactly how you said it, but basically, you know, getting those things across into the youth, because really in our society, as you said, you know, this has been something, you know, it's kind of like a PTSS type thing, you know, or, you know, stuff that we're doing certain things that we know are not necessarily any good for us, you know, and it's saying, we're doing things that are not necessarily good for us, even though we don't know if they're not necessarily good for us. And, you know, that is something that we are definitely missing. More often than not, I'm going to have, I was at a store the other day, and there was a older man that came out and was talking about, you know, these young boys, these young black, and he's black, you know, or what we consider to be black, right? And he's saying, you know, these young boys, you know, they ain't nothing and blah, blah. And whenever that happens, it always messes with me, because I remember one of the things that started me acting, you know, hopefully, you know, what I would call right or righteous or whatever, was that I was on a bus one day, long time ago. Can't remember the age, probably like, you know, teenage years, right after I got out to the, or right before I got in the military or something like that. And I heard, you know, I'm carrying, I think I'm carrying a knife. Yeah, I was carrying a knife. And basically it's these old men talking bad about, you know, these young boys carrying knives, pants sagging, blah, blah. And so I got irritated, and because I know you're talking about me, but you're not saying anything to me. So I walked up in the face, and I'm like, yo, you talking about me or whatever. If anything, if you feel like what I'm doing is so wrong, tell me why it's wrong. And the guy looks, you know, he was surprised, but I guess he was surprised more so that I actually was like, hey, okay, teach me, you know, like, like I know deep down inside I'm not really supposed to be doing this anyway, but you know, this is what I'm doing or whatever, like, teach me, you know? And I feel like that's a huge piece. So, you know, I heard the guy saying that about people in the parking lot. I was in at the store, and I start yelling back at him because he's just saying this stuff walking across the whole parking lot. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do to help? And he's like, well, you can't help. You can't do this. And I was like, well, you busy yelling at him. I was like, why couldn't you have came to him and said something positive? Even if he ignores you, it probably works better than you yelling at him. And I think that's one of the things, kind of that PTSD, that thing that we got going on, where we still decided to give into, even if it's not something we are in the forefront of our mind. You know, I feel like you know, we do it on purpose. We might not even know we're doing it on purpose, but we're basically taking time out to down each other, to separate within age, to not think about the fact that all of us are in this together. And so when you said, I kind of wanted you, if you don't mind, if you're able to expand a little on that, because that's something that whenever somebody talks about that, that's always a key to me, because we talk a lot of trash about the youth. We talk a lot of trash about gen this and gen that and all this stuff, but we don't ever really make it a point to, as you said earlier, with basketball, to foster relationships.
But I think and that goes back to what you mentioned earlier about time, about people spending their time and you know, and really trying to not educate necessarily, but just showing some type of respect, right? You have to have respect first before you can educate, right? Because somebody who doesn't respect you is not going to listen to what you have to say. It's just not going to happen. That's why you have rules in the school, in the classroom setting, right? Because if you don't respect the teacher, quote unquote, there's rules in place that will get you, you know, taken out of that environment for those who do respect the teacher and do have some sense at least to listen, right, or engage maybe even, and hopefully learn. But adults, in that Gen X, Gen Z, and all of adults have a hard time. And I'm being broad here, but this is just what I've experienced. Adults have a hard time just offering respect first, because they're older than the individual, and that's just how it's been for years. And that's like that across the globe too. But the expectation is different outside of America. You go to different cultures. Obviously, we can point to the Eastern Asian community. South Asian, for that matter, you know, Sub-Saharan cultures and things of that nature. The youth inherently are expected to respect their elders. It's been like that for multiple millennia. It's always been that way. But when money becomes daddy, right, that respect is not necessary, because now you're just chasing the money, because money garners respect. Power, money, that is supposed to offer respect in America, because we value wealth and power over humanity and respect, because that's where the education happens, right? If you can understand one another and look at one another as a human being, as a common energy source that we can learn from and build with. You're not going to look to money. You're not going to look to tangibles as power, because you realize the human connection is far more powerful.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Anyway. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask you a question real quick? Do you think that that's because in capitalism we have forgotten that human beings are, if not the greatest, definitely one of the greatest capitals, versus we just use human beings to make capital?
I think, in that respect, I think it also, capitalism is a vehicle, right? And you know, the players instead capitalism kind of veers the vehicle. They drive the vehicle. So the greed that man brings into that system corrupts that system, as any other system.
Okay.
So if mankind went into a capitalist type of system, with righteous intentions, poverty will end in a year. It'll be gone.
Yeah.
Because we will be trying to solve problems, solve issues, as opposed to win and lose and draw you know, goods and resources from people so I can make myself more powerful. Instead of drawing resources from people to put into a bigger pot so we can help people. You know what I mean? It's the corruption of man that makes capitalism evil. Right? It's the corruption of man that takes away that respect for elders from the youth that it used to be. And puts power and wealth and status above that, which is why we can't reach the youth on a broad level, because so many have been sucked into that. And again, the adults who are raising these kids have been sucked in. Their grandparents sucked in. It's a chain. It's a very powerful one too, mind you. It's damn near sickening. Power of social media. I think people seriously still underestimate the power of social media. You never know who's going to hear your voice. You never know who's going to see you. But with that, we have a chance. Otherwise, I'd say we're doomed, bro. Real talk. I mean, we're not doomed. Not doomed like mankind will never survive. Doomed into there's going to be some type of major conflict on where man's going to fight for it.
No, I get it.
Or you know what I mean? So, yeah.
No, I definitely get it, because a lot of people, especially when I'm doing the lives, there'll be somebody, I won't say always, but a lot of the times I'll get a question along the lines of, well, you think that, you know, what's going to be the thing that makes things better? And I always tell them, I was like, I don't know if you want me to answer that question, because the reality is I think that things have to get, whether I'm talking about canonical viewpoint or even if I try my best to lay my, you know, religiosity at the door and just say, looking at it, you know, strategically, looking at it financially, looking at it systemically, whatever, like it seems like we're already in a place to where we're in the haves and have nots. You know, a lot of people are thinking middle class. No, there really is no middle class even today, you know. And so we're already in that place where you're a have or have not. You know, you have a home, you have your own food, you own your vehicles, you have investments, you're investing in what the banks invest in, type thing. Whatever, like you have the knowledge. We're kind of already there, and the system, whether we like it, and this is where, I've actually found out, I guess, that you and I agree more than I used to think we would. Like, because you know, when it comes to, because we never had a problem with each other. Let me just make that up.
No,
say that up front.
Not.
But I always wondered, because you know, you were very much so into, you know, talking about, and I know, I guess you're not really talking to you more. I used to think you were a constitutionalist, but I guess you say you're not necessarily, but you do believe, you know, in being an actual American, you know, especially as somebody who served and has studied and taught and what it's supposed to represent. So, you know, I can respect that, especially as somebody who served, you know, even to this day, if I'm dealing with somebody who served, they're always going to get the utmost respect from me, because they, you know, they believe that they gave their life, you know, or given their life, you know, for the correct cause. So, you know, but for me, I don't see America as presently constructed. Now, I know people say it's supposed to be, different than what we're doing, which for me, I still have the issue, because for me, I'm like, you know, when I go looking for a house, I'm always looking for the foundation. If the foundation is cracked, I don't really want the house, because eventually the house will be messed up unless I'm going to put a bunch of money into the foundation. And sometimes it's easier to just look for another house. So I'm kind of in the same thing with America, where it's like the foundation to me is so cracked that no matter what happens, no matter if you believe that Biden and Kamala are going to be the change all or whatever, that's on you, or not you personally, but you know, on whoever's listening. I don't really care about that. I just don't see the system as presently constructed as something that is going to be able to survive and thrive. You know, what do you say, you know, when people like myself say something along those lines?
I would say that we got the wrong address, not necessarily the foundation is cracked. I think we were given the keys to the right house, but they gave us the wrong address, and we need to find the right house, and that means leaving those people who gave us the wrong wrong address, leave them behind and find the right house and lock them out.
Okay.
That's how I see it. The reason I say that, Kofi, is because, you know, foundation is just like capitalism. The foundation and your analogy was cracked, and you know, and a sledgehammer was put into it by evil individuals who were in power for years and years and years in this country. And I say they were evil because a lot of people understood, even back in the early 1800s, late 1700s, there's writings on this from some of the founders of this country. They knew slavery was wrong.
Oh yeah.
They knew that shit. They already knew that, but they felt it was their you know, God-given duty to take over this land and this, that, and the third, which basically gave them the comfort of knowing that they were not going to be persecuted for what they were doing. They had to convince themselves that it was righteous, which is the problem, right? So it's not necessarily the documentation, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, things of that nature. It's not that it presented a false foundation, you know, distorted one. It was the right house, but the people who wanted to, you know, to give the directions to the population, to the citizens of this country, to get through said house, they didn't want that to happen. They wanted to keep the house to themselves, basically. So they gave us the wrong address, even though we got the key to the damn thing, right? But they can't lock us out, even though we think they can via politics and, you know, big money donors, things of that nature. We actually, as a collective, have the keys to the house, because that's what the documentation says. Right, we as a citizenry have the keys to the house. We just don't know where the house is, and they do. We need to kick their ass out, take over the house, and lock them the fuck out. Because eventually, what's going to happen is they're going to turn the house into a fort. And for us to survive, we're going to have to break the damn thing down and build a new one. And quite frankly, that's what worries me. That's what worries me, man. They made the house. It's a nice house. They took over the damn thing, gave us the wrong directions. No, they had put it. They sent us on the other side of the planet, and we're trying to put a vehicle together to get back to home base where the house is, so we can kick them people out, man, because they're destroying our house, and we're basically letting them because we can't find the damn thing.
Okay, well, I think you got me close there, because I do like that part of the analogy as far as they gave us the wrong address. Just for me, you know, because, you know, and I guess I could see it, you know, and we'll move on from this. We don't have to stay on this, but I was just thinking, because for me, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you know, there's obviously things that I think, just because I don't like something doesn't mean that, or just because I don't think something's perfect doesn't mean that I don't think there's anything we can use from it. So I'm not so far gone to believe that, hey, it's good to have the right to form a militia and make sure you can protect yourself. I obviously believe in that wholeheartedly. Like, I don't have a problem with freedom of speech, freedom of press, right? Even though it doesn't always happen. But I don't have a problem with the idea of, yeah, like, you should be able to say your piece. You should be able to, you know, cut somebody out if you feel like it. You should be able to say something that actually seems like it's sedition. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, if it's something how you really feel, like, we should hear you out and try and figure out why you feel like it. You know, there's a lot of different things that I obviously agree with. Even if I don't agree with why the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were made, I don't have a problem with, obviously, black people, even though, man, when it comes to the 15th Amendment, I do have a problem with the fact that we as black men didn't really fight for women to vote, but, you know, that's a whole other discussion. But you know, I have no problem with the 13th Amendment as far as what it's supposed to represent. You know, the 14th Amendment as far as, well, okay, so we agree on that, but you know what? You know what I'm saying? If it's supposed to, well, even with that, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like there's so many things where people have made holes in it, or even things that, you know, people of certain colors, whether we agree, because people don't don't actually, because of especially what I guess what I represent on TikTok and YouTube and other places, I guess people assume that with me, you know, it's black everything. I believe in a black agenda, so to speak, and that black people need to be better in an autonomous fashion to be able to make sure that they can actually be good for the world. But I believe that everybody should have access to the same freedoms, that we should all treat each other with respect. We should all do those things. And I know that the Constitution, supposedly, especially with people that are around now, are trying to say, well, we can just, you know, forget. But for me, I feel like it was built specifically to lie. It was built to say, okay, we're, you know, for example, the Declaration of Independence, we need to get away from this tyrant king. You were friends with this tyrant king, and basically you weren't going to do anything. The tyrant king got tired of you because you kept messing up. And so what you did was, instead of have to die yourself so that there wouldn't even have to be a revolutionary war, you decided to let a whole bunch of people die. And that was the beginning of this new thing, like things like that. So it's like, I was raised to believe that this was just, these were just pious men that did whatever, but George Washington, slave owner, Thomas Jefferson, slave owner, George Washington married his wife, Martha, because she has just as many slaves as he does, so they can double up. Like, you know, even Ulysses S. Grant going that far, Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Johnson, these are all people who were slave owners as president. And so it's like, I was taught that these things are the values and what a lot of these men really, really wanted. But when I look at it, I'm like, all of that was a lie. When you said, we the people, you didn't mean me, you know? No. So it's like, I understand there are people, and I get it, you know? I get there are people that are saying, well, that doesn't mean that's how we have to think now, and maybe if we change the way. But I'm just going to be honest, I don't know. I'm not going to call it fear. I don't think I'm afraid of it, but I just don't. I just have a distrust. And sometimes I wish I didn't. Like, there are times I've been in tears because, you know, I believe. Like, I joined the military at 17. Like, I believed, you know, all of their stuff. And when I got in and saw certain things, it really messed me up. And so I'm not somebody who came to this because, you know, I always believed this. People filled my thoughts with this. Like, I believed for the longest time that, you know, even through the first Obama administration, or part of his administration, the first 4 years, I really and honestly and truly believe, okay, I don't know what yes we can means, yes we can do something, I don't know what it is, but okay, I'm waiting. And eventually it stuck with me to where if I don't start doing something for my community and stop thinking the government is actually going to do something, whether people in the government want to do something, but it's not on them, it's the system. And so I just got to a place where I can't really trust in the government, you know, to help. And it's a thing where I look at sometimes in sadness because I feel like I'm jaded. But, you know,
I think you're being cautious and highly informed about the world around you. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing you said just now that was, you know, misrepresented or false at all. Not at all. In fact, I would say the government, the people, basically the millionaires and the wealthy in this country. Because if you look at Congress, House, and Senate, I think it was 87% millionaires or something like that, maybe even higher. And obviously, we have the lobbyists walking the halls with these people. Those are the people who have the house. Those are the people who have the house, and they locked us out, and they gave us the wrong freaking address. And we have to get rid of that. We have to get rid of that. And the documents of the Constitution and things of that nature. It was wielded by corrupt individuals, by people who didn't see, you know, quote unquote, black people as humans. And, you know, quite frankly, we haven't seen what this country can do with that documentation, with the people who they thought were inferior running the country. We haven't seen that yet.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And I think you and I both know. I mean, I don't want to sound facetious or anything like that, folks. But what's deemed as quote unquote black people globally, it's just a different energy when it comes to how they see the people around them, the people they respect. It's a different energy. I've seen the need for what, quote unquote, white people, and especially, you know, white people in America. Well, heck, you could say in Europe too. How they look at individuals with a darker melanin, content, things of that nature. They might not notice it, but they look at us differently in terms of how they need to deal with us from a social political aspect. They look at us differently. They look at us as if we don't understand the issues. They look at us like they need to explain the issues to us and things of that nature. They're not necessarily looking at us to solve problems. They're looking at us to guide us to where they're going. And it's completely different. Black folks look at things for what it is. I'm just being real. My grandparents are being like that. People I've been around my entire life, if they have that compassion, that righteousness about them. You know what I'm referring to. There's just a different aura about them and how they engage with people. They look at things for what it is, not what people want it to be. And I think that's one of the reasons why black folks fire off at people when they try to explain to them how they're supposed to feel about things. We are not ignorant to the world, people. We just don't pop off at the mouth like certain people do because, you know, we as a collective don't feel like we are protected when we do, nor are we heard. So we just talk amongst ourselves. But you put us in the position of power with a righteous attitude and people around us, that Constitution will be dealt with like it's supposed to. People means people. It will mean we the people, because that's the way we will wield power, because we have been at the brunt of this nonsense for hundreds of years. And we know history about ourselves that you think you are just now telling us and realizing. We've known this for generations, people. We know it's for generations. I mean, heck, there's people still saying there's not white privilege. Are you serious? You're just now figuring this out. That's why you people are mad when you see this thrown at you, even though there's countless evidence. We've only had camera, smartphone, top technology for 10, 12 years, maybe almost, maybe 20. Do you know how much you've already missed that we've seen, that our grandparents told us, our great-grandparents? You have missed so much, yet you have the audacity to tell us how to respond and react and act to things when it comes to politics. That's how I know it's black folks getting the power. And I don't mean, just any black people. No, it has to be black. No, righteous individuals who happen to have a darker melanin shade. When they get into power and they understand the world around them, it will be different. You just see the energy alone, even though Obama was a puppet. You can see the energy alone on how people responded and reacted to him that were not evil, talking about racist things and hanging his effigy from the tree and things of that nature. People who have a clear mind and weren't overtly biased when it comes to black people, quote unquote, they felt that energy he gave off. He's a righteous dude. In terms of how he acts with his children, his wife, the way he comes to people, things of that nature, he's a righteous individual. It just so happens he had he was getting paid to do things, but from an image standpoint. I think he showed some good things from an image standpoint, but the politics, we've got to change that whole spectrum in terms of getting change in that regard. But the more and more quote unquote righteous black people get into office in this country, it's going to be different, people, but I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of pushback on that, and people aren't ready for that still, even though it's 20 years into the 21st century. Sorry for the rant.
No,
that's what you're here for.
You would like to speak. So we're pretty much at the end of the time, because it's like I said to you earlier, I know that you're a busy man, and so am I. So I'm not going to hold you too much longer. I want to thank you for being on, and thank all the listeners for listening on YouTube and listening on the radio show. Here Wednesday at 10 o'clock a.m. So we appreciate that, and Before we get ready to go, is there any last words or anything you would like to tell people, or even places that people can go and follow you on the multiple platforms that you have?
Sure. I have a YouTube channel, Big Duet Ninja. It's pretty simple to find. Of course, you can find me on TikTok, Twitter, and I just opened an Instagram account, but you know, it's basically the same content passed over on a different platform from TikTok. Three things, folks: truth, context, action. Carry those three things with you. Find the truth, apply context to that truth, and then act upon it righteously.
All right, I like that. Truth, context, action. That's it right there. You heard it. So find the truth, make sure it's contextually correct, and then make sure that you act correctly upon it. And I actually like what you just said, because I like to talk about contextual facts. People are always giving you facts.
Oh, context, buddy.
So thank you so much for saying that. But that's all that we have for you guys today. Thank you guys for listening in. As always, if you're looking for anything on any platforms, you know, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Helanis, Instagram, whatever, YouTube, just put hashtag find Kofi in any search engine, and you should be able to find what we're dealing with and what we're talking about. So thank you guys so much. As always, I appreciate the king and queen in each and every one of you, and even if you're not living inside the kingdom or queendom yet, I appreciate the potential king and queen in each and every one of you. Today possibly we planted the seed, or maybe watered the seed that was there, but we know that there shall be increase later on, and so we're thankful for that. Once again, thanks to Duet Ninja, and as we get ready to go, I want you guys to remember, as always, that you are loved, you are necessary, you are majestic, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you, which is all of us working together, will be the reason why this world changes for the better. Shalom. Peace.
Y'all come along like y'all to Yahshua. Y'all come along like y'all to Elohim. Y'all come along like y'all to Yahshua, my Savior. Elohim like Big Bra. Come along.
killing it. Hate ain't feeling it. Profane, no thrilling it. And y'all think we sealing it with love in our heart. We resign to give y'all glory. Renew our story. Forget your plight. Receive your sight. You are the light. Filled with might. All praise is due to Yahweh. So choose whom you will serve today.